Well, good evening. I've got to admit, I've got some pregame jitters. See, I didn't even pronounce it right. Pregame jitters. Now, I've had about a month to prepare class number two. But, you know, I really want to deliver this material in a way that will move your hearts. And so how many were here for part one? Okay, so quite a few, but there are some that weren't here, and so I'm going to do a little review of what we talked about. So I started out by saying that, talking about myself, in that I am, when it comes to financial management, I am a self-taught 61-year-old person with personal convictions about how I should use the tool of money to glorify God. And my way is not the only way to do things, but it has been successful in my life and in my family's life. So whatever convictions you get from the scriptures, okay, apply them. Let the scriptures move your heart to using the tool of money and your own financial management to glorify God, okay? If you're looking for a quick fix, this isn't it, okay? We're gonna talk some things that we've talked about are, you know, take some keeping on, some perseverance, some buckling down and doing the hard work, building some character in your life that's going to produce fruit for a long time. You know, I shared about when I was a college student, it's so exciting to see the college students that are being converted because you are being spared a lot of heartache in your life because you are getting, in your early 20s, maybe late teens, you're getting some discipline in your life that's going to carry you for a long time, and you're going to avoid so many hardships because of that. And you should just be grateful. I am so grateful that I became a disciple 40 years ago last month. So, you know, I talked about this passage in Galatians chapter 6, and it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." You know, this scripture applies to so many areas in our lives. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You're not going to plant a bean plant and get corn, okay? What you put in the ground, you know, with respect to how you behave with your finances, it's going to produce either one fruit or another, right? If you're not putting in the hard work, if you're not getting organized, if you're not being disciplined, that undisciplined life is going to produce a fruit that you're not going to like, okay? You know, early on, I talked about in my walk. I guess it was like the first year someone preached about giving. You know, and I'm a college student. You know, and you get this idea when you're college. Everybody realizes I'm a college student. I don't have a lot of money, and you know, I can't give. And then one brother stood up with the conviction. He says, "Brothers, if you're spending more on a date on Saturday night on a regular basis than you're putting in the plate on Sunday morning, you got to examine your heart." And, you know, I really did take that to heart. And I say, you know, I can give, and I can give consistently. And I started in 1980 giving $15 a week. And by the end of the first year doing that, I said, I can't believe I did that. And I was consistent. From there on out, I continued as God would bless me. I would continue to increase, but be consistent. And I just want to challenge you with just that idea of being consistent. Give something, and God's going to bless that consistency. You know, we talked about a number of different proverbs that indicated were some of my favorites when it talked about money. We talked about that there's over 800 scriptures that talk about money and property. Why are they in the Bible? Okay, because God wants us to know that we need to deal with this matter of personal finance and money and management in our own personal lives, right? And so I think that some of those scriptures you need to wrestle in your own life about. What do they mean to you? Develop some deep convictions. One was about saving. One was about saving and not eating everything you have, right? Talked about that in the house of the wise are stores of food, choice food and wine, or choice food and oil. Those commodities back in, you know, Old Testament times were monetary. They were currency, okay? So he's talking about money here. Save some up. Save for a rainy day. Put some aside. It's not always going to, you know, not always going to have everything that you need. There's going to be some hard times that you're going to have to live through. Talked about avoiding debt. I said avoid debt like the plague. You know, there's scriptures in Proverbs that talk about run away from it. Don't be, you know, don't put up a pledge for a debt, or even your bed will be snatched from you. We talked about Albert Einstein. Remember, what did Albert Einstein say, other than the theory of relativity? The eighth wonder of the world. Okay, those who understand it earn it. Those who don't understand it pay it. Which one do you want to be? Okay. You know, we talked about having a skill, having a trade, having something that you can work hard at and be productive so that you have things to give and to share, okay? And if you apply yourself, you'll serve before kings. And then we also shared the scripture, pay attention and pay attention and turn to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. What I'm teaching, apply to what I'm teaching right now, is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and you have all of them ready on your lips, okay? So I even assigned homework last time. Does anybody remember what the homework was? So this is a test of applying your heart, right? If you didn't apply your heart, you're not going to remember to do the homework. All right, but we're going to review that, okay? And we'll review that later on in the class here. You know, tonight my goal is to move your hearts in order to help you become what God intended you to be when it comes to your giving. You know, sometimes we get in this situation, we say, oh no, they're going to talk about giving again. I think I give enough. Okay? You ever felt that way? I think we all have, right? Okay? If we would just get our hearts on right, it wouldn't be that hard. It wouldn't be that, oh, then I don't want to hear it again. Right? If we just get our hearts on right, God will help us to be gracious and giving like he is. You know, God gave his all, didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave his son so that we could live. You know, the Bible talks about being a joyful giver, a hilarious giver. Okay? Are you a hilarious giver? What kind of giver do you want to be? Do you want to be one of those ones that's talked about in Hebrews? That's, you know, even when they're dead, they talked about this guy. I do. I want to be an example in my giving. I want to be a giver like God's a giver. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. You know, we talked about some things last week that there was some people had a reaction to, okay? That's not a bad thing, okay? I'm not here to pat you on the back. I'm not here to say, oh, you guys are doing great. I'm here to Stir your hearts. That's what the Bible's all about. Stir your hearts, get you to wrestle with the scriptures, and help you to move forward, take things higher. In chapter 4 of Acts, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's challenging. Okay? You know, it says the believers were one in heart and mind. Are we one in heart and mind? We want to be, but I don't think we're there yet. You know, but it says they were one in heart and mind. I mean, when you're one in heart and mind, you know the needs that are in the congregation. You're eager to meet them as if they're your family member, your kids. You know, what happens when your kids need something? Something happened, I'm not going to share exactly what happened recently, but one of our kids is in need, and it involves some financial help, right? What are you going to do? Well, sorry, I got those dollars committed. No, you meet the needs, right? But that's if you're one in heart and mind. It says, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. I don't know about that. Is that hard for you when it comes down to some things? Yeah. My Honda truck? I don't want to lend that out. Reg, that nice pickup you got, you don't want to lend that out, right? We have a long way to go when it comes to this scripture, okay? We've got to wrestle with it. We've got to rend our hearts, okay? It's not that important, these things. We have got to, we talk about, you know, we used to talk about becoming the New Testament church. And sometimes we even throw that around now. Are we really trying to become the New Testament church? Okay? He says, they shared everything they had. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. Wow. And then he goes on, and it says, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. I bet we didn't even know what the needs are because we're not honest with each other in the congregation. Okay? We should be able and have the hearts to meet whatever needs are there. God will be glorified. It says it's going to be a powerful thing if we take this to heart. You know, that's challenging. We should ask ourselves some questions. Are we striving to be one in heart and mind with all of the believers? Or just the campus? Or just the marrieds? Or just, you know, there's a lot of needs. Okay? How close are you to the other members that you don't hang out with all the time? The summit? Those people that are locked in, okay? We need to strive to be one in heart with all the believers. Do you claim that any of your possessions are yours? I know we do. We need to struggle, fight through that, and figure that out, okay? Is God's grace working so powerfully in you that there are no needy persons among you? What kind of example are you setting in your giving? If everyone gave like you, where would the church be? Okay? Where would the church be? Does God need your money? He doesn't. You know, he wants your hearts and minds. Yeah. The way you use money, though, is a gauge of where your heart is. You know, I've got a burden on my heart about things that could happen in the future in our church. Okay? I'm of the demographic of the baby boomers, right? Okay, boomer, right? But there's potentially needs that are going to develop in our church, you know, throughout the world that we're going to have to meet. Okay? You know, I've been thinking hard about this. What happens when our elderly folks in the church need medication they can't get through the government? Need housing that they can't get through the government? They have limited funds because they didn't plan ahead. And we told them, give so that the kingdom can grow. What are we going to do? We've got to have a plan. I've got a burden on my heart. Those needs may need to be met in the near or far future. What are we going to do about that? We're going to have to figure that out. Okay? So, therefore, we need to get this relationship with money on straight. You know, we're going to continue reading in this passage. And this is, you thought that was challenging. Let's take this a step higher, okay? Starting in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God.'" Wow. You know, that's, you know, I've been reading this book that Kate, my daughter, sent me about, you know, in different ways to look at the Bible. And one of these chapters talks about what made it into the Bible and what didn't, because, you know, the stories about Jesus were phenomenal, that the books, you know, the earth couldn't fill the books, right? So what the stuff that did make it in the Bible, how did that get there? Like this story. That's powerful, right? But when you think about it, he lied. It says to the Holy Spirit. You know what? I've been reading this book, and when it comes down to, and when, if we can admit to ourselves, money is one of the things that we tend to lie to ourselves about. Okay? And if we lie to ourselves about it, we also lie to others about it. Okay? Have you ever said, "I'm committed, I'm going to do this," and then you don't follow through on it? Is that a lie, or is it just inconvenient? Okay, I think it's a lie. I mean, if we've made a commitment to give consistently, are you giving consistently? If you made a commitment to get your house, your financial house in order so that you can give consistently and give more, are you lying if you don't follow through and do the hard work that it takes to do that? You know, are you lying when you said, "I'm going to give consistently," but when you go out of town, you forget and you don't keep track so that you don't know that you missed, but you really missed, right? Is that a lie? Something we need to struggle through, right? We need to get a grip on it. How about this one? Do you give extra when God blesses you with extra? When you get a bonus or a windfall or something that you didn't expect, do you give God a portion? Okay. Are you consistent in your behavior with money? Are you consistent with your commitment to God? It says in Proverbs, once again, it says, pay attention and turn to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them ready on your lips. Okay? You know, we have these financial classes from time to time. What do you do with it? Are you serious about applying the things that are taught? Are you digging in to the scriptures yourself and wrestling through those scriptures and getting a grip, developing your own convictions on where you're at with your relationship with money? Does anybody remember the homework? Anybody? That's good, yes. What are your baby steps? Okay, think about what your baby said. Did you think about it and identify some? Okay, I brought a worksheet. Okay, so if Kelly, if you can get some help in passing those out, we're going to kind of walk through this a little bit. yeah, one per family, and hopefully there's enough here. If not, you can look on, and we can make some more. Just so you can look on. Okay, so this is a basic budget structure. So if you have not, I remember my good friend Tom Lombardi, we were talking way back 30 years ago, and I said, so do you have a budget? And I said, can you show it to you? Well, it's kind of in my head, okay? And I said to my good friend Tom, it's not a budget if it's not written down, okay? It needs to be written down, and you need to be able to, at the end of the month, say, well, did I meet it or exceed it, and how do I, you know, work from there? So I will send this electronically to anybody that wants to. It's on an Excel spreadsheet, and you can modify it, and you can, you know, fill in the blanks, and if you need anything, want to understand some of the formulas in it, I'd be happy to share that with you. Yeah, ski pass on there. Well, it's all got to be in the mix, right? So anyway, one of the things that I do in my budget, and I would encourage you to do, is plan your finances so that you will be setting aside special contribution throughout the year, okay? So you don't have to scramble right before special contribution and drive yourself crazy. So that's why I do 62 weeks, right? So I'll here's my giving multiplied by 62 divided by 12, and that's what goes in the monthly expense, right? And you know, and you can follow right down here on other things. You can add other things that, you know, if you have a pet and you have dog food or whatever, all the gals have different stuff that they need to put in different categories. This is just a starting point, right? So write it down, but it's got to add up, okay? It's got to, the expenses cannot exceed the income, okay? That's basic. I know it's not basic for everybody. It's been basic for me, and that's what Renee and I have struggled with for years. Okay, that is basic, okay? It's Reconciliation, it's making peace with the budget, okay? So it's very important. If it doesn't add up or your expenses exceed your income, you got to start cutting, okay? So that's how it works. All right. So the next page, Chester helped me with this to categorize some of these things. So I kind of grouped these things. These are next steps that you can take. And I want you even tonight to think about that. We'll walk through some of these. So there's a beginner section, there's an intermediate, and there's an advanced. And there may be other things for you that you can do as next steps as well. But these are just some things to think about, okay? First of all, write a budget. And a budget is a spending plan that is equal to or less than your income, okay? That's what a budget is, right? All right, read a book on personal finance. Dave Ramsey, there's a lot of them out there. You can go and get your financial head screwed on, right? Get a financial accountability partner. That's a good thing to do, okay? Because it's nice to have someone looking over your shoulder and say, hey, here's what I think I should do, and then get some other ideas about. And then they can also hold you accountable to what you said you were going to do, okay? Submit to the to some kind of a budget tracking mechanism. So my spreadsheet also has tabs on it where you can keep track of the different categories and see where they're trending, okay? You got to be able to reconcile, I think, on a monthly basis, but on a regular basis, you need to reconcile what your plan is to your spending. And on all these categories, I think we all need to determine ways that we can give more, you know, because it's good for our heart to figure that out, okay? Everybody else is demanding more, okay? The power bill is demanding more, the, you know, gas. I mean, everything's going up. Why not give more to God, okay? So in the intermediate section, I'm going to start out by asking this question. Who wants 100 grand tonight? I got 100 grand for 6 people tonight. All right, it is 100 grand. It says right on it. Okay. The intermediate section starts off by saying, do a retirement projection. Okay. So is Jordan's not here tonight, is he? Jordan Miller? Okay. Yeah. You got a ways to go. Just kidding. So Jordan and I sat down a week or so ago, and we did a retirement projection for him, okay? And projecting from now to, and he's already contributing to his 401k, okay? And I'm proud of him to do that. I mean, you got to start, and once you get started, you see the power of compounding, it's easy to see 100 grand, okay? His projection goes out to 2064 is when he's going to retire, okay? But that's motivating. When you start to see, whoa, I don't want to cut back because I'm going to be able to have this to bless others with, to be able to be someone that can contribute and meet needs. It's powerful. Do a projection. And 100 grand is nothing when you look at the power of compounding over 40 to 50 years, okay? Develop convictions about whose money is it or it is, okay? Get in the scriptures. You know, learn some of these passages. Struggle through them. Wrestle through them. And really understand what is God trying to teach us about money and property, okay? Get advice about credit cards, okay? We had a little discussion, for those who weren't here last time, about credit cards. Now, again, to clarify, credit cards aren't evil, but they can be. In and of themselves, they are not evil, okay? If you choose to get a credit card, my advice is don't do it. But if you do, pay it off every month. Be religious about paying it off every month. Do not carry a balance, okay? But get advice about how these things work. You know, people are lured in by the points they can get and the rewards and all this stupid stuff. It's not that important, okay? Get some advice about it. Also, get advice about paying down short-term debt like credit cards. Get a plan on getting rid of that debt. It is killing you in the long run, okay? Do not mortgage your future by having credit card debt. Get advice about buying a house, right? You're getting a house? That's a big purchase. Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah. Don't just think, oh, yeah, everybody knows how to do this. No, you can make some mistakes, okay? Get this. Realtors want you to spend more than you can really afford. They've got a formula. Why is that? They get a commission based on how much the house cost. So, you know, what was the gal's name? Jeff Chacon's wife?
Lisa.
Lisa Chacon. She did a little financial presentation last year. And this year, it was early in this year. And she said, people are too often buy houses more than they really need or can afford. I'm going to say this and try to make it perfectly clear because people take exception to this statement. Houses are not the best investment. Okay? Houses are a good financial decision when the alternative is paying rent. Okay? Good financial decision, but not a great investment. So the idea that you would buy more house than you can afford because it's going to appreciate over time, I can show you projections that will show you a different method that will accumulate more wealth over time. Okay? So good financial decision, not a great investment. Okay? So get advice. The next one is know your numbers. What does that mean? What? Know how much you can spend, how much you're contributing to your 401k, how much it needs to grow over time so that you can accomplish your goal. I mean, know your numbers. There's so many numbers that we really need to know. I've been challenging Chester to plug in his numbers in that Fidelity, retirement calculator. Know your numbers, okay? It's only you that can do those things. You've got to get educated, learn some of these terms, and apply yourself. You can get advice, right? You don't have to do it on your own. And then determine ways you can give more. Advanced. Get advice about tax planning options. Hey, what is that? Well, there's a lot to being able, there's strategies on how you can pay less tax. Do you know that? Now and in retirement, okay? Get advice about a 401k, IRAs, Roths, conventional options, what all these different things you need to get educated about, because in the long run, your future will be a lot different if you get educated, okay? Get advice about strategies on reducing fees on your investments. If you are investing, it kind of blows my mind all the time when I ask some of my coworkers, so do you know how much that Fidelity is charging you every year? What do you mean? There's fees built into all this stuff that you're investing in, okay? You need to know. That's some of your numbers that you should know. And if you can reduce that, that's a good thing because it's your money they're taking out every month, right, out of your plan. Get advice on reducing taxes. What can I do now and what can I do in the future? Should I meet with or hire a financial planner? It's a good question. Get some advice, okay? Sometimes that's a good thing to do. Sometimes, That's something that, well, if you can educate yourself, you're going to do much better because they're going to take fees from you over time. Meet with an estate planner. What's an estate planner? What's that? Well, it is. It's really, what's going to happen when you're gone and how are your assets going to be distributed? Do you want to give a lot of it to the government? Or would you like to bequeath it to something that produces something that you want to see done after you're dead? Okay? All those things you can plan ahead, put it all in writing, and it can be taken care of. Okay? And once again, determine ways you can give more. You know, there's a lot to the financial realm, okay? Need to get educated, but ultimately we want to glorify God and take care of the needs of the church and build up God's kingdom and glorify God. So that's all I've got. Rich is going to take it from here.
I've got spreadsheets and charts. I got a clicker, too.
You got candy?
I don't have candy. I do not have candy. So, one of the things that this church has done very well is we have consistently met challenges. We have consistently met goals that were handed out and given. I'm going to do that tonight also, is to give you some goals. But reviewing some of the things that I went, and I'm going to start from the beginning of my notes too. You know, we talked last time about examining your discipline and asking the question, how disciplined am I? You know, teaching others, gave the example of others in this room that are very disciplined about their giving, very disciplined about their life, and to go to them and talk to them and ask them about that. If you have a debt, then make a plan. Knowing that things are going to be for the long run. So, I'm going to go ahead and start with some of the spreadsheets that you all want to see. Is this supposed to be on? It is now. Let's see what happens. There you go. Financial update. There you go. So I don't know, you probably can't read this. This is 2019 contributions, and just, again, meeting our financial goals. Year to date, are about $3,000 short of our budget goal. And so for a $300,000 budget for the first 10 months, that's 10%. I mean 1%. 1%. 1%. So being within 1% of your budget is pretty good for our church our size and for the people that are in the church. So thank you very much. Amen. So what that means is not to let off in December, because December seems to be one of our toughest months because we have other expenses that happen in December. And like Joel said, those should already be figured in. Christmas should already be figured into your budget. It happens every year. This is what Dave Ramsey says. You know, it happens every year. We know when it is. It's December 25th. If you didn't know that, it's December 25th. And it happens every year. So we should be budgeting for Christmas, budgeting for our giving. So that's just to show how well we've done over the last year, and that we are meeting our goals. So if you just go ahead and read this, take your time. I'll probably pass this out later. This is our 2020 budget. And so our 2020 budget is being calculated and being refined. This is a draft. It still needs to be approved by the board. It has been approved by the core group. But it is something that we want to be able to hand out to you and show you where our monies are going. But if you need details about that, you can step up here. So overall, this is what happens from 2019 to 2020. Our budget is going to go up significantly. And there's reasons why our budget is going up significantly. First of all, the biggest reason our budget is going up is because we are going to hire Trinity full-time. And so that includes other benefits and things that go along with that, but that's the one of the biggest increases in our budget. There are other things that have increased in our budget. Healthcare has gone up significantly. You probably all realize that, but healthcare has gone up, and a few other items have gone up. There are some things that we plan on doing in 2020 that we have continued to do and we have done in the past, so we want to be able to budget for those also. What that means is that we need to increase our weekly giving by $877, okay? So what that means for each one of us, because there is 172 members in the Colorado Springs Christian Church, and that means a $5.10 increase to your weekly giving. To be able to meet this goal, to be able to meet the budget for 2020, to be able to do the things that we want to do and that we need to do for the congregation, for the city of Colorado Springs, we need to raise our budget. Each one of us, our weekly giving by $5.10. So what that means is if you're giving a dollar for your contribution, your contribution goes up to $6.10. If you're giving $10, then it's $16.10. If you're giving $10, give $16, because somebody else is not going to give. I'm not even turning red when I said that. So what that means, what it means for everybody in the congregation is that we all have to give a little bit more. Yeah. Give a little bit more. And we will be able to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. So, and this is how we do it. Through the board. No. Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. It says trust in God. Every story that we read in the Bible, there's an element in trusting God. In trusting God. Just Moses, when he led the people out, he had to trust God. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm leading over 1 million people out of Egypt. How am I going to do that? I don't know. God must know. I'm just going to trust him. You know, every character in the Bible, I'm in a den of lions. What do I do? I had to trust God. He said he was going to protect me. We can't lean on our own understanding. Sometimes our own understanding gets in the way. When our own understanding says, I don't know how I'm going to make that house payment. I don't know how I'm going to make that rent payment. I don't know what groceries I'm going to have. I don't know how I'm going to pay the cable. Okay. Thank you for answering my question. You know, trust God. Trust God. I could give you example after example of Karen and I in our own lives. Don't know how this is going to work out. But we trust God. Trust God. And he has set us on the right path, on the straight path, every time. You know, John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I think sometimes our giving comes down to a trust issue. We don't trust God. We don't believe that he can do the things that he promises to do for us. That's a hard issue. That's not a pocketbook issue or an income and expense issue. That's a hard issue. And that's what God has always wanted. The reason why he chose Moses, because he saw his heart. This man's got a good heart. That's why he chose Abraham. This man's got a good heart. That's why he chose David. That's why Jesus chose all those disciples that sometimes we think as knuckleheads. They had good hearts. That's why he chose them. And they trusted him. They trusted him wholly. We don't know how you're going to do this, Jesus. You told us to give up our nets. You told us to give up all these things. Where are we going to get food to eat for our family? I don't know. Here's 188 fish. You know, it's a matter of trusting God. Our giving comes down to that, and that's the bottom line. So I'm laying out a challenge there for you, just as Joel did. You know, $5.10. That's all we need. Increased giving. So I don't think that's very much. But that's what's going to make and meet and exceed our goals for 2020. So I had that slide up there about the board. Matt Riviera, Randy Silva, Tim Richards, and Mimi Hall are on the board. We will be approving this budget and presenting it once again to you probably in January as we get the year going. Okay? So that's all I have for tonight. I will be back up in a minute.